Friends, check out this new live sports game called FireFan. It's free, it's fun, and it's family-friendly. Click this link. Oh, fuck.
Just say...
FireFan.com, promo code Haley.
I'm not editing it.
You're not editing it? FireFan.com,
so you got it.
Promo code H-A-L-E-Y, promo code
If you're a sports fan, you have to check out this game. FireFan lets you play along live with your favorite teams. You can go to HaleyIsADog.com to get your free game today. If you go to HaleyIsADog.com, it'll enter the promo code H-A-L-E-Y, and you'll get to support your favorite podcast and get a free game on FireFan.com.
Do you want to challenge us to a game tonight? Download FireFan and use code Haley, H-A-L-E-Y, so we can play together during tonight's big games. HaleyIsADog.com.
So, Bob runs a bus route. All he has to do, he has to work every single day, but he works from 6 to 12. He does a whole route of the city, and he gets the rest of the day off. Bob starts his bus route at the top, very, very top of the city, almost outside of the city, and goes all the way downtown to pretty much outside the city. He loves the job. It's an easy job, but it's about 3 hours of driving through the city, making local stops to get the entire length of the city. On the weekends, the bus is almost empty. It's mostly a commuter bus that runs the length of the city, and the weekend trips are normally empty. And on Sunday morning, Bob is running his route and picks up Tara. Tara gets on the bus, and she's the only one there, and Tara starts to strike up a conversation. Tara says, I'm actually taking a bus to the bottom of the city, and I'm going to rent a car there, and I'm going to drive it out of the city. Tara and Bob start to talk about the vacation that Tara is taking, and Bob says, you know, do you drive much? Tara, of course, says, no, I don't drive that much. I'm actually really nervous about getting out of the city. I'm not too bad on highways. I'm really bad at just getting out of the city. Bob, being a bus driver, takes this opportunity and tells her, you know, all the maps, all the applications, they're going to tell you to take the main road to get onto the bridge to get out of the city. Don't take that. It's really confusing. And he gives her this route that involves two or three side routes. And as they're talking, Tara notices, oh, there's the route. It's right there. It's two-way streets. You could show me the route right now. Let's go take it. And at this point, Tara is sort of standing over Bob as if they're going on an adventure, like they're on a pirate ship, and Bob is steering it. And Bob goes, you know, they're 6 or 7 blocks away from it. And Bob goes, no, I can't do that. It wouldn't be the route. She goes, no, there's no more stops for like another 40 blocks. You can obviously take me on this route. You know, like just show it to me. He goes, no, I'm not allowed to take that route. It doesn't matter. He goes, but you know, it's a faster route. You know, it's a fine route to get to where we're going. So just take it. I don't see what the problem is. You were just telling me, Bob, that this is the best route. And at this point, Bob makes a slight jerk in his head, not anything too fast that you would really catch. But if you knew what to look for, you would see his head move slightly faster. And he doesn't snap at Tara, but he doesn't necessarily say anything nice. And he says, you're not really allowed to stand up on the bus or near the driver. Can you please go sit down? Tara goes, sits down, and at the red light that they're at, right before one of the turns to get onto the route Bob suggests, Bob drives by, and Tara sort of slinks into her seat. A couple blocks later, there's another opportunity to take that route, and Tara perks up, thinking that Bob will take the route again. 6 blocks later, at the last chance to go on this side route that Bob describes, Bob does not take it. The rest of the bus ride to the bottom of the city where the rental car center is totally silent. Tara gets off the bus, says, have a nice day. Bob says the same. Bob drives uptown to park the bus, and they never meet again. Deepu, bring in the show.
All right, this is episode 5 of Go to Hell Podcast. Mike episode 3. Mike edition 3. And now we have some our theme song by the Turnbucklers.
Freddie Unreal of the Turnbucklers. All right, we're getting things going. Beliefs, Deepu, that's what we're talking about today.
I believe.
I like that story. Beliefs, what people think and what people know in their hearts and what they are allowed to do and you know, actions speaking louder than words. I like front-loading these episodes with the crazy shit. With the real, you know, cult leader analogies and things like that.
That was a good.
What did you think of that story?
That was a great cult leader style story. You know, it wasn't too crazy. It kind of took it to the edge. You're like, are they going to take the route? I should probably drink the punch in the back of this fucking venue because I'm pretty thirsty. I heard there's pineapple slices in it. Let's go for it. You did have me sucked in. You know, you told it well. So I was impressed.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'll add to it to make you, because I do want to have a little bit of your opinion on this type of situation, because I feel as though Facebook, not necessarily caters to it, but has a lot of examples of it. There's a Wild West expression. I don't know how much you're into the Wild West, but
love it.
The Wild West expression is, you know what the good thing about a man pointing two guns at you is, right?
What's that? I don't know.
You know what he's doing with his hands.
Ah, that's pretty badass.
And I think that, and the thing I want to get a perspective on is, you know, people on Facebook, you know, again, welcome to Go to Hell Podcast, a show where each week me and Deepu take turns criticizing the other person's behavior on Facebook. This is my week to criticize Deepu's behavior on Facebook. You know, people on Facebook, they put everything out there, and it just becomes so easy to bother you. If you put all that you are out on the line, like, you have no ace. And I'm fascinated with it. It's the aspect I'm fascinated with right now on Facebook. That people just say their rawest thing. They don't try and say it in a way that people might get it or that people can engage with it. They just say it so raw.
What's like a raw thing? I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about here, but can you give me an example?
Here's a typical post. Like,
okay.
Like someone would just be like, I don't believe that any dog in this country should ever have to eat subpar dog food. And if you don't believe that, then, you know, my heart goes out to all of those dogs. It's like,
okay.
Everything is there on the line when you say that. Like, that's a belief I genuinely have, and I'm saying it bad. I genuinely believe we have deplorable ways of regulating dog food in this country, but people just say the exact raw emotion rather than holding it back. And obviously, everybody knows the crux of that argument now. You know, the way I try and make people understand that issue, which is a little bit more subtle, is I go, you know, the FDA doesn't regulate food for pets at all.
Dude, I love how you even know this much about this weird issue. And yes, I agree. As, you know, from a family with dogs, the food sucks. I understand.
You can feed, you can sell anything as dog food.
I bet. It's not, I bet. It's the
government, there is one sentence, go to the FDA, there is one sentence about dog food. It says the FDA does not regulate any pet food. That's it. It's one page on the FDA's website. There are other people, but what a more interesting way to frame it, rather than people just say these exact raw things, what they're feeling, and it has nothing to do with the way the world works, and then there's no way to engage, first of all, because you're saying it as this like core belief.
Well, people who are equally appalled by dog food quality will like the post, most likely.
I mean, that's
how you just get your little mob, your little agreement pile.
Well, I'm going to get more into that. I guess let me do it because I really want to address your slur thing. If people didn't hear the show last week, Deepu was charged by me on the last episode I hosted to say every slur he wants to say on the show. So that is the big – stay tuned to the end where Michael, social justice samurai warrior extreme Super Saiyan style, will absolutely go berserk Knights of the Round Table on Deepu's list of slurs he thinks are appropriate. That's the big – denouement.
Oh, man. Detention's going to suck.
I don't know. I think that, like, okay, so here's the example I'll give you in terms of why I don't think that's true. And last week, Deepu, you also were or 2 weeks ago, you were very upset that you think people don't like your stuff. And I want to ask you at the beginning of the show, you know, I said to you, maybe you should engage more. Maybe you should go out and post on people's stuff and, you know, talk to people and like their stuff and try. Did you do that this week?
Yes, I did.
So are you more satisfied with people's returns on that and wanting to engage with what you do?
I see a direct correlation between the stuff I like and the people I engage with by liking and them liking my stuff. So, yes, I saw a direct improvement. But it's not worth – the kind of popularity I want is not going to – like, I'm not going to go to that one-to-one relationship. I want to get thousands of likes. That doesn't mean I'm going to like thousands.
Oh, now it's my show.
Yeah.
The hubris, the hubris of celebrity in the young artist. I'm going to get so self-righteous on you.
Okay. Well, I want thousands
of
likes.
If you get one fan every day for a year, you have 300 fans. If you do that for how long have you been on Facebook?
Since 2006. So
2006. So 10 if
years.
You had actually managed to get one fan every day since 2006, times 365, and I'll even give you the benefit of saying even half of those people won't do it. So 200 fans a year for 10 years.
2,000 fans, you know, that's barely anything.
It would be better if there were 2,000 people liking your
stuff. I agree. No, you're right. I should have worked on that.
That's
you're
the
right.
type of likes you want. So there's this hubris. There's this assumption. I don't even want to go into it, but like I did a whole episode on another podcast called Almost Educational where I talked about this idea that we talked about magical thinking amongst people's success. And again, this conversation doesn't really apply to people on Facebook because we're trying to get likes. But you entertained one person. What a magical thing that you're not getting to enjoy. Somebody likes something you posted, and it's not good enough for you. I mean, why isn't that good enough? Someone liked it. What a joy. You got to entertain someone.
Yeah, I love likes. Stop talking about this other guy. I'm right here. Focus on me, baby.
I am focusing on you. Why wasn't it good enough that you got a couple more likes this week than you normally had? You're complaining that you need thousands.
No, okay. First of all, you know, it's a new week is a new Deepu. Okay, I am no longer upset about the lack of likes. In fact, I'm just happy that my content is getting well received on Instagram.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I know. I hate to fucking get real on you, but I'm the raw emotion that you're trying to tap into for me to fucking snap at you right now.
No, I'm not trying to get that, but I don't know why I'm not trying to get you a snap. I'm saying why isn't it good enough that I told you to engage with people and I said talk to people and you know
because,
they'll also like your stuff.
I don't know why you're deferring.
I don't know why you're deferring. I'm saying you wanted more Facebook engagement. I told you exactly how to do it. It worked.
I got
what
an
the hell's wrong with
you? Got an answer for you. I'm sorry for deferring. That was me just not thinking it straight. Okay, so here's my reasoning. You know who I didn't think did that kind of paying it forward? Just a quick list. George Carlin. George Carlin. Bill Hicks. Okay.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Lenny Bruce.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You're comparing yourself to the entertainment plane from 30 and 50 years ago? Are you kidding?
That's right.
Deepu, is this show brought to you by Tide? what are you talking about? There's no commercials for Better Like Ike. What are you saying? The entertainment industry changes from year to year. It changes from day to day. We had a whole conversation about how we've had jobs that social media or stuff has changed something because an update is made and it changes the next week. What do you mean, George Carlin? George Carlin absolutely did that kind of crap. He played shitty rooms. He had to suck up to people. He did bad gigs. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, you're guessing that he did that, but
No, I'm not. He has a biography.
I never read it. I read his books, but I didn't read the biography.
So
you read Napalm and Silly Putty, or are you talking about something else?
I have read several different books that overlap.
There's a part where someone says that he kisses ass.
George Carlin is specific. I have a problem. Okay. I don't want to talk about comedy so much, but George Carlin famously walked off stage, didn't want to wear suits anymore.
Right.
There's a famous thing that happened to George Carlin that he felt as though he was sucking up in the wrong way.
But that's through comedy. That's not like
Deepu,
reaching
but you're
out.
Not investing any like okay, I'll talk about this right now. Let's get into this. Let's talk about engagement on social media. One. When we talk about advertising, because we're getting so advanced already into the third episode. I don't even know if I want to address this.
Should we dial it back? Go in a different direction.
Yeah, it just seems like I feel like I'm still in analyzing. All I'm going to say to you is that you aren't. If you're spending time on social media isn't advertising. It's a cheap, free way of doing advertising. If you actually spent money on advertising yourself, Deepu, if you actually paid an agent, you'd have different results. I mean, you're not spending any money.
Yeah.
You're getting this all for free, and you're expecting the work.
But I see, like, you know, some people I know who will do, you know, well, they'll post content of equal or lesser value.
They are, make no mistake, they are trying very hard to engage with people and to get engagement up.
Yeah.
Make no mistake, very few people get lucky and just have a lot of followers. I don't want to go too much into it because then this becomes about the entertainment industry, and it's not. It's about Facebook.
Yeah. All right, so what's the next thing on the docket?
Inspired by you.
Yep.
In terms of you not getting engagement, here's what I did. I went and I looked at people that do get engagement, and I copied them. Let me say this about Facebook. I do want an opinion on this, too. At the end of the show, we're going to have a full – happy Thanksgiving, everyone. It's Thanksgiving week, if not Thanksgiving day. But at the end of the show, me and Deepu are going to get to talk. He's not going to be a producer. We're going to have a frank 10-minute conversation. It's going to be nice. Inspired by you in saying there was not enough content, I was looking around at posts. First of all, I'm not being mean. I'm really not being mean. As someone who goes to a therapist, as someone who goes to a psychologist, I'm saying this genuinely to people on Facebook. If you have a compulsive desire to get this opinion out in the world and put it on Facebook because you feel angry about something, you need a journal. You don't need Facebook. You really shouldn't be saying these things to other people. Not that they're bad opinions, but you need to see a therapist. You need to have a sounding board. You need someone that isn't going to say stuff back to you. Because there are so many people that have these really raw emotions and they put them out there and then they want people to just say like, yeah, you're right. Or like, and if people don't say, yeah, they're right, like they get upset or people then disagree. And it's like, well, how could you, well, it's in a public forum, we're going to disagree to, we're allowed to talk about it a little. But I think a lot of people, and I mean this seriously, turn off this show. Turn off Facebook, and if you genuinely need to, like, write opinions because they feel pent up in you, if you feel this pent-up need to get on Facebook and write it, you need to – I'm being – this is like – this is not a bit. It's a dead serious thing. You need to learn about writing angry letters. You need to journal. You need to shout into a pillow. You need to spend time taking long walks yelling at trees. I'm serious. you can't use Facebook.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's an entertainment value in tapping into I mean, and there clearly is a demonstrated – value in tapping into entertainment based out of anger. You know, we see a lot of viral videos out there. You know, this guy got shot. This guy got shot. This thing happened. Blah blah blah. And
Okay. I'm gonna cut you off on my own episode.
Okay, sure.
I resent anyone being violent, being violently hurt, being called a viral video. But I know what you mean. It's not viral. It's well spread around.
Contagious. It becomes contagious because more people see it. And then the algorithm knows that other people want to see it.
No, Deepu.
It spreads.
This is my show. Okay. This is my show. You're wrong. a viral video is something strange, something not necessarily expected to be interesting.
You're right.
Someone getting shot is inherently interesting to all of mankind who does not want violence because it may at one point implicate them in violence or someone they know in violence. You're absolutely wrong. It's not viral. It's inherently interesting from the fact that someone gets hurt. It's interesting. Whether it's entertaining, I think that's sick, and I'm not going to say it on my show. I'm not going to say it on my show. I don't – again, this is Facebook fucking armchair psychology you're doing. You're coming back at it with like, well, people are entertained by violence. No, that's not what I said at all. I'm not – you know, stop trying to analyze what
like
people
ratings.
Do on Facebook.
This is just well-known fact. This is ratings.
But that's not a – it's not a well-known fact. It's not a well-known fact, and it's not a thing about Facebook. You're trying to analyze Facebook. I think that's horseshit. All I'm saying is I'm looking at people on Facebook, and I see their anger, and I see the format of what they've written. As someone who gets angry and someone who writes angry letters and doesn't broadcast all those thoughts to the world – those people would – I'm not talking about, well, why is Facebook popular? That's a stupid thing to try and figure out. All I'm saying is if you need to write these angry thoughts, that's not what making entertainment is. That's a need, and you would be much happier if you wrote it down in your phone, if you got a journal.
But no one else
– don't.
But you
want
to be heard. You want the idea to be heard.
Yes, and I'm telling you, and here's where my example of the week is going to come in. I'm telling you now, talking about social media, you will be heard more – and people will engage with your ideas more and understand your ideas more if first you write that angry letter, if first you get out the angry idea, and if first you get the raw emotion out of the way. Here's the example. Two tweets this week that two tweets. Can we call them tweets? What do they call on Facebook?
Posts.
Status?
Posts.
Status updates? Is that still a word?
I think so, yes.
Two status updates.
Facebook anecdotes.
No.
All right.
No, because that's an anecdote about Facebook. I saw someone posted a picture accidentally of themselves naked on Facebook. That's a Facebook anecdote.
Whoa.
This is a status update.
Okay, fine. So
I didn't see that. I don't have that interesting of stuff. I mostly look for the pictures of people's puppies. Okay, so here's what I wrote in regards to that. Two posts that I thought exemplify why writing an angry letter, why seeing a therapist, it's not being mean, it's not calling you crazy. Therapists are not for crazy people. It's a sounding board. Why seeing a therapist might make you happier with your Facebook experience. The first post is, I wrote, "Dear Hive Mind," in parentheses, Facebook. "This website gets real Eeyore-y right away. I feel like I'm just Pooh Bear, and I come on the internet, and Facebook's like, 'Oh, hi, Pooh Bear.' Y'all need to chipper up." People loved that post. People were into it. People commented on it. We talked about Winnie the Pooh. We talked about how maybe people should lighten up a little. It was great.
How many likes did it get? I'm curious.
Well, if you're curious about, we talk about Michael's friend count. This was right after the episode I wrote that tweet. So right after last week I wrote that tweet, I think I got like 5 or 6 likes.
Okay.
And so at the time I had just over 200 was our update last week, I think, on Michael's friends.
Oh, shit.
Which went from 10 the 2 weeks before that.
Well, I'm seeing right here you have 455 total friends.
There you go. And it was 370 this morning when we started recording.
You made a lot of friends, buddy.
Yeah, and so people need to trust that I might know what I'm talking about, how to change social media behavior so that you know what you're doing, okay? Yeah. The other post I posted, which you can probably see on there, Deepu, that has way less likes, is a much more pretentious, much more in-your-face opinion of the same opinion about people chippering up and people wasting energy on Facebook being angry. The post is a quote from Tom Lehrer's Folk Song Army. The quote is, "Remember the war against Franco? That's the kind where each of us belong. He may have won all the battles, but we had all the good songs." And then it said, Tom Lehrer's described Facebook 50 years before it happened. Nothing is new. It's an in-your-face tweet. Yeah, it's intellectual, but it's angry. And guess what? No one liked it. One or two people liked that tweet. Or whatever it is, that post.
Five because likes. Not that many. Significantly less.
Not that many, considering the other one had more.
Mm. So let's dive into it.
And considering...
Yeah, this post was a little, you know, it's a little... You have to be a Tom Lehrer fan to give a fuck. Right up top.
Right? A pretentious... It's not necessarily pretentious, in my opinion, but you have to be into old comedy, into social commentary.
Yeah.
And then on top of that... I'm being angry. I'm accusing you. I'm saying you're wasting your time being part of the Folk Song Army. The song is about people that make songs about things rather than doing any action. It's in your face. It's accusatory. It's angry. It's smart. And no one enjoys that. As opposed to what I have been doing, which is asking questions of people, which is getting a lot of engagement and getting to talk to people, which people enjoy. People like you being interested in them.
What's a great question that you thought you asked? This week,
I asked the last post I put up there was, what is the most memorable experience you've had with vermin? So, i.e., mice, rats, flies, bugs, raccoons, etc. And lots of people responded. It was great. It was really, really funny. And I genuinely have been enjoying my time on Facebook because, and I'm not saying that you have to make everything about innocuous things.
It's
about vermin or whatever. I think there's a way to do that if you care about a political issue to talk to people rather than isolating them.
No, I mean, listen. I mean, if you're comparing,
don't tell me to listen. This is my show this week.
If this whole thing is about like how I was so fucking mean on my thing, yeah, you're a much nicer guy. You've done nicer things on your wall.
Well,
you talk nice things to
people.
Okay.
Well, let's say two things. One, your meanness was directed at people. If people hadn't heard our last episode, Deepu pretty much insulted someone just to their face for almost no reason and almost no action taken against them. But again, let's be fair. Let's play both sides of the coin here. Let's be real journalists. That did get quite a lot of attention.
It did.
Because you were viciously mean.
We should share it. We should share these posts on the Facebook page, by the way. So.
The Ouroboros of sharing Facebook posts on our podcast page on Facebook
page.
about our Facebook podcast is a little bit too like, oh, I'm looking in the corner. There's a black hole. I said that sentence and there's a black hole. All I caused a black hole. Oh, my foot is now a singularity. So,
all right. Good point.
The point is that you just went after someone, and yeah, people did engage, but did you enjoy your time? You were stewing. You were stewing about something you were genuinely angry about. You caused other people to stew, and then they came back at you.
There's a phenomenon I want to illustrate to you.
This is what I'm saying, is those sort of words, I don't want to be that type of social media podcast. Well, let's be introspective as to what societal function does Facebook serve for the homo sapien brain? I hate that shit.
What I'm saying is not that deep. So I said phenomenon because I want
to
sound like
that's even worse to me. you're not going to sell me deep if you're like, oh, don't worry, it's super undeep and very and very stupid.
Well, you have to account for, and it's hard to measure, but you have to account for the people that saw the post, loved it, but couldn't attach their name to any part of it out of remaining politically asymmetric, for lack of a better term.
We called these people in, and I'm going to do even more of a trope here. We called those people in World War II who didn't stand up for minority groups. We called those people cowards. So have fun with that, audience. that's what you're talking about. You're talking about cowards
or people who just don't want to get in, just don't want to get tangled up in a little mess. And that
they enjoy the mess.
They do enjoy the mess. Yeah.
If you want to be deep about it, it's called Schadenfreude. They were enjoying other people's pain, but were ashamed to admit it out loud.
There you go.
It's a well-known psychological phenomenon. You're a sick fuck for trying to get attached to that.
I tickle people's Schadenfreude, so...
That's not good. Other people that tickle people's Schadenfreude, like... like vigilantes, like mean people, ill-minded pranksters. Like, this is not a good list to be a part of.
Yeah, but it's an interesting list. It's an interesting list. It's a list not many people are a part of.
I'm banning the word interesting on my episodes. That means nothing. Oh, how interesting it is. Everything's interesting.
That's how I live my life.
Look at anything long enough, and it's interesting.
This is how I choose my life decisions. Am I being an interesting person doing it?
Of course you're interesting. It's whether other idiots are capable of seeing that. No, this is my show. Don't say no in the middle of my lofty monologue here.
All right, sorry. Yes.
Of course you're interesting. You are 100% interesting. But it is the good people in this world who have the wherewithal to look at you, Deepu, as a wonderfully talented young man and see your merits. It is the idiots in the world who enjoy seeing you beat someone up. So that's the difference between being on that interesting list and engaging with people on a real level. That's how people turn into, like, you know, criminals. That, like, not only do they have to do it via that's getting too societal into it, but like, yeah. you hear it with gangs. That they get rewarded for doing shitty stuff, so they get all fucked up emotionally about not doing shitty stuff. You know, motorcycle gangs, not gangs. I don't want to insult any people that are in an organized gang, the mob, the Medellin cartel, any of the Crips, Bloods, Latin Kings. You of course are organized and really running a business. I'm not insulting you. I wouldn't want to. You know, I don't want to isolate people.
Right. Well, let's not go to big picture here. I think yes, I have a fire burning within me. And it is it likes to tickle people's Schadenfreude.
That's not your content. That's not your content.
Yes, it is.
That's your content is to just lampoon people. That first of all, I don't even want to talk about.
I'm speaking for the unspoken. I am a voice of. I am the champion of the silent. People think these things.
But. I know they think these things, and I guess. We'll talk about this a little before we go to the break, but right, because I want to be funny here. I'm trying to be funny when I talk about it here, because it's hard. Because right, what you're saying is like
it's pretty deep.
Well, I'm being the voice of people that, you know, oh, they feel as though there's some injustice. Which, by the way, if we're going to talk about the specific situation you posted on, you were not right. You were wrong. You were wrong in all facets of it. But you're sort of saying like, well, you know, if I'm saying stuff that people are afraid to say, you know, because they think that they won't get, that they'll be lampooned for saying it, like I'm the voice of other people.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll do it. You just pretty much made fun of someone for starting a small business in an industry they were interested in. You wrote a post about a comic owning their own club and putting themselves up on for time. Like, you just described fucking commerce. Like, that's nothing. He was interested in comedy, and so he opened a comedy club and pays comics.
Yeah.
We're in an era where people don't get fucking paid. People just do free shit, Deepu. And our last episode, you made fun of his daughter who was heroin, which, again, I don't know what that has to do with. And you're just being mean to these people. It has nothing to do with anything. And you've gone up at their club. So it was fair. You're not his friend. You went up at his club. You were just blatantly mean. I don't know why you had to be blatantly mean.
Because the implications of this guy and people like him running the business the way they do is bad for
what,
comedy.
Which is what?
Exposing the audience to subpar comedy when there is a better choice, when there is a better option. And these guys are not good.
No, the club has been open. Tons of clubs have shut down in New Brunswick. You're wrong. He was talking about Vinny Brand. You were talking about anyone. It doesn't matter. If the club is open, it's successful. You're wrong. You're wrong. People don't have to go. Clubs shut down all the time. Clubs shut down after the boom. Clubs shut down all the time because they were just getting the hacks who had to go from town to town, and they weren't getting the big names. They weren't getting the names that were advancing. Those clubs shut down. Not because people stopped coming, but because the content wasn't good, because it was this circle of the same shitty people. People don't have to go. Again, I've said this about movies before. If you're going to do it based on the commerce, don't give your money to people. I thank people for you. People are giving us their time for being into the show. You know, that's a big thing for me. And you don't have to go to a shitty comedy club. Walk out. Ask for your money back.
Well, I think
people do that.
I think some people will go to that show, see that show that this guy fucking assembles, and go, comedy's not that great. And then that's a viral.
I also want to defend, if we're going to talk names here, which I don't like doing, the person you attacked, Vinny Brand, is funny. You're wrong. He's funny. You're wrong, and he started a business. People don't get paid. As far as I'm concerned, I get fucking annoyed if people don't pay me. I don't do anything if someone doesn't pay me. If there isn't monetary value, I don't show up. That's not to say I don't make my own art for art's sake, but if I'm going to do something for you and there is no monetary value in it for me, you're just making me do it for free? No, I don't show up.
Here's an example.
I don't show up. I don't do the work.
I got an example for you. Someone opens an art gallery, and they just post their fucking art. How fucking... Where's the integrity?
What's wrong with that?
What's
wrong with that? Is it a successful gallery? Do they sell their paintings? People, that's a great plan, Deepu. If it works, it's a great plan. Success in art has nothing to do with this mortal thing you're talking about. I don't know where you're getting it from.
It is.
Succeed any way you can. There's tons of artists out there who slept their way to the top, too, and they're still written into books. It doesn't matter. Whatever it takes to get your art out there, they're not hurting anyone. You're wrong. In my opinion, you're absolutely wrong. It furthers the industry. He's paying comedians. He opened a club in New Brunswick as a shitty town.
Well, they get a lot of college people. You know, they don't know better. They go out and they fucking go there.
Oh, get over yourself. They don't know
New
better.
New Brunswick, That's New Jersey students know better. I disagree.
Deepu, I think you're talking, it's ageist, you're talking shit, you're being hateful against my home state, which I don't really care about. Again, it's hard to actually offend me is one of the things here. It's like I really can't be offended because I never play all my cards, which is something people don't know to do. If you play all your cards, it's really easy to offend you. But like I'm actually offending Deepu here. I can say anything, you know, but Deepu really couldn't hurt me. Yeah, and that's the difference here on how to use Facebook.
Yeah, it's your show.
I don't like that sentiment at all. Like young people don't know better.
They don't.
What are you talking about?
I mean, I don't know how wise you were when you were 21. I imagine you were pretty wise, but, like, you know, you still had to learn a lot of things.
When's the first time you heard stand-up comedy?
First time I heard stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
I think I was, like, 11, 12.
Oh, then you should give it up, because I wouldn't. You're just listening to the 11-year-old self in you. Oh, Deepu, that's bad. Deepu, when was the first time you ate chocolate?
I must have been, like, 2 or 3.
And now you hate it?
No.
Oh, Deepu, like that's it. Oh, what would you know? You got to give it up. Oh, Deepu, that's just a thought that you kept listening to your 2-year-old self. Oh, Deepu, when was the first time you saw a puppy?
I don't get the connection that you're trying to
the
make.
The connection is you make tons of choices in your life when you're young that you stick with for the rest of your fucking life.
Yeah, but you also make choices that you don't. You also make
I don't. I don't, and I don't believe many people do.
I would choose to play with a certain toy, and growing like, as I got older, I'm like,
what toys do you play with now?
I play with my penis.
Okay, and you've enjoyed that since?
Yes, I have.
Okay, what toys did you stop playing with?
I had a remote control. It was kind of like a dingy, 3 foot tall, no, maybe 2 foot tall, assembled Megazord. Remember the Megazord? All Power Rangers, all the robots come together?
And when was the last time you played with one?
I mean, it's easily been like 20 years, 25 years.
How do you know you don't like it? I would say the older you get, in your own logical steps there, the older you get, the worse taste you've gotten. You stop playing with it. I would bet you would love playing with it. I think the older you get, the less you know about things. And in fact, you see that in the way people talk about stuff. When they're younger, they like more. They enjoy more. They have joy in life. And when they get older, all they want to do is suck peppermints and look at gin. I don't even drink it. I just hold it underneath my eyeballs and feel the evergreen sting.
Right. Should we do this ad?
When was the last time you picked up a cool trend from an old person? That's all I'm saying. No old person has ever taught you something that wasn't just like wisdom. No old person has been like, oh, you really got to check out Aeon Flux. I don't know why I don't know why MTV doesn't make anime anymore. They had Daria. They had Clone High. And then they had Aeon Flux. It doesn't make sense to me. Oh, you got to check that shit out. Hold on. My suppository fell out. You got to build up them Kegels.
I hate to say it, Mike. You've made some amazing points.
Thank you. Of course I did. Let's go to Mike and Deep who shout your shit.
Mike and Deep who shout your shit.
What kind of a fan are you? Do you want to warn the running back when he's about to fumble?
Hold on to it, please. Don't let go of it. Don't let go of it. No.
Do you predict the plays?
He's going to pass. He's going to pass. He's going to pass the ball. Oh, he was open. God damn it.
Call penalties before the ref.
That's offside. He's offsides. Open your eyes. He's offsides. Yes!
If your passion is on fire, your new sports game app is FireFan. It's way more than an app. It's a real-time play that puts your head in the game, literally.
You predict the scores.
You call the plays.
You forecast the action.
All in real time.
All while competing against your favorite sports heroes, celebs, or just diehards like you. Don't just turn on the game. Fire it up. Download your FireFan app and enter player rewards code Haley, H-E-L-E-Y. That's player rewards code Haley, H-A-L-E-Y, and start playing today.
You can go to FireFan.com and enter code Haley, or HaleyIsADog.com, and that code will be entered right there for you. Get the app, play along with the players and other fans, and support your favorite GTH podcast. Let's go back to the show. Okay, we got a lot to talk about what you said on your last episode.
Sure, yeah.
I want to get to this stuff. So my question to you, Deepa, just to close what we were talking about before, why don't you just post nice shit? We had a whole conversation last episode about cooking. I know you like cooking. Why don't you just do? Don't you think? Don't you? Isn't some part of you that thinks if I post this, people will enjoy this and I'll have a nice conversation on the internet? And even if later I want to post something angry, you don't post anything like that. It's just your work and then being mean to people. Why don't you just say, what's your favorite? Well, like, here's my favorite way to cook chicken.
Well,
I don't know why that part of you comes out in conversation. And I let you talk as a producer for so long on the last episode about how you cook chicken. I mean, it was nice. It was nice to hear you talk passionately about something without being angry.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't remember exactly, but I remember I did try posting some stuff about me cooking, you know? I've actually made a cooking video, which I'm going to link to, okay? You know?
I bet it's great. I don't know why you don't do that more often.
It's because it went underappreciated. No one liked it.
Oh, but again with this, people don't notice it until they notice it.
Yeah, man.
That's the life of making stuff.
I remember I shared my favorite
YouTube
channel.
When was the last time?
My favorite YouTube channel, I shared it. No one liked it.
Oh, who cares? Who cares? It's not yours.
I know. That's why I was like, all right, I guess I got to fucking say some angry shit.
But again, as we said on the Derivative Art episode, you are not the work of other people. You are your own work. I'll give you an example of like, I hate this as a tourist thing, like walking across the Brooklyn Bridge. I know it's a thing people do. But
have you ever done it?
No. But I'll tell you one of the things I do. Well, I don't like walking. Okay. I'll put that opinion out there. If you want to hear me get angry and annoyed about something, I don't like walking. I hate walking. I think it's great. When someone goes, it's a nice walk, I go, no, it's a walk that has not, for me, there's no such thing as a nice walk. There's a walk that has not gotten over pissing me off. There's like, if the walk did not reach the levels of annoying me, then it was a nice walk. I'm not just going to go for a walk. I like transportation. I like things that move me. I like all that stuff. I don't want to walk.
I want to buy this bit off of you and use it in my stand-up. Can I do that?
I've used it way too many times. It sort of is my bit.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I've done it. I've said it on other shows. but the point here is I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I like Wally where they have the little chairs. Oh, my God. In the beginning of the Jetsons, his boy Elroy was always on that like little – yeah, that little – oh, is there a pigeon there? Get that out of your room, people. His boy Elroy always had this little seat you could move around on. That's what I don't want to walk. Who would want to walk? Why would you want to do more? Same with standing desks. Oh, like I know it's good for,
walking,
I know so, everybody has
to
different
damage your fascia too.
I'm not a fascist. Did you hear my anti-Franco sentiments at the beginning?
Listen, there's like 20 bones in the foot. That walking deteriorates at an exponential rate.
See, this is Facebook logic. Let me throw this in there. Stop listing bullshit science. I don't need science to back it up. This is a gut thing.
BuzzFeed told me that
exactly.
Every bone in your foot is like marbles.
But I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to hear it. It's like that sort of logic doesn't appeal to me. I don't like walking. It's not a health thing. I don't need a logical reason for it. I don't enjoy it.
As a guy who has walked a lot for a job, my feet feel like packing peanuts.
Sure, yeah. I've had to stand for hours. I've had to walk long distances. It's not great, but if the ends justify the means, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm not just gonna go walk. Okay, so that's something I am genuinely fucking angry about. You know, that's something I'm not gonna be nice about.
Do you ever pace around your room?
Of course.
So that's walking.
Yeah, so that's enough.
That's a
though.
Lot of walking.
What, 10 to 20 steps? That's plenty. Even then, I get exhausted.
Oh,
I forget
okay.
What the thread we started in here was, but I don't know why you're not just being nicer. I don't know why you're not just posting nice stuff so you can enjoy yourself.
I'm going to try it. You know what, this week...
As a producer? Wait, asshole. As a producer, you were supposed to remember what I was talking about. You're not supposed to be joining in the conversation.
I forgot how we got to walking. I'm sorry.
Well,
we talk about
good.
Things we like, things... You don't like?
You're so, you don't, no. You're
we talked about Facebook.
Oh, good on you.
We just did an ad.
Stop it.
We didn't go that far back. We didn't miss much. We were like a, we were
did,
20
we
seconds
did.
Off.
There was another thread. There was another thread. That was supposed to be your job. Okay. Also, you made fun of me about mugs and cups that I reuse cups. I think, and I had to explain to you in the last episode that the glass industry is the same across the board, that no one will lose jobs.
Consuelo disagrees.
I don't think.
Not Consuelo.
Okay, you're fake Consuelo, right? If you didn't hear the last episode, Deepu did a bad Spanish accent, an offensive Spanish accent, quite frankly.
Nope.
No, let me say that another way, why I'm offended. An unoriginal bad Spanish accent, and didn't really take the time to bone up on Spanish, and then read a weird poem, and I thought... For a second there that I had slipped into another dimension and that this was just like I was just hearing language backwards.
You slipped into Trump's America. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't know why you make those jokes on this show. I don't get them. I refuse to.
Yeah, but the audience does.
Them.
The audience
didn't,
gets it.
Yeah, but the audience doesn't care. Did you write that joke? You might as well just na-na-na-na-na. It's not your joke. It's not something you thought about. Like everyone's made that joke. Like that's my issue
you
with
you. You set
with
me up with the dimension thing. You said dimension. I fucking
no,
roll with
I didn't
it.
Set you up with, but it doesn't matter. That's the you, I. If it's on my episode and you're going to interrupt as a producer, like that was such a first draft joke.
It was.
Like it wasn't even a joke.
Yeah,
like,
it was just, that was like me waking up
that?
And
that's
saying
nothing.
That.
That's nothing. You just said a buzzword.
Buzzword Trump. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what the joke was essentially.
Ding Hitler.
It was so. Oh, that was a bad Deepu, and you got me off track again. But again. Deepu, I think
I could
that
be nicer. Could be nicer.
People, here's. I remember the thread. Fucking eventually, I don't like walking across the Brooklyn Bridge, but something that is fun for me is I love looking. I love ready-mades, which is a form of art that involves appreciating sort of artisanal things like screws and nuts and bolts and toilets and actuators and pneumatic lifts. And so for me, I wouldn't walk across the Brooklyn Bridge because you can't really see. The, like, workings of it. But I love looking at those. I don't like walking. I think that, but nobody's really going to, unless you're a fan of ReadyMade, you're not going to appreciate like your light switch every day. It's a rare thing that people do. People notice it when they notice it. You cannot say that you're not going to be nice because, oh, people didn't like it. That's what a child does, Deepu.
What do people appreciate about the Brooklyn Bridge? What are they?
I don't know. They like the view. They like walking. They like to stick their cameras out over the edge of the thing to see if they drop it over a car. I stick my tongue out in the hopes that I ruin people's photos.
I always try and spit into an oncoming car's sunroof. Like
always
like
good.
Thousand points, you know?
Always a fun time on the Brooklyn Bridge. So that's my point here is that you guys are seeing my progress in real time on Facebook in terms of having a good time on Facebook and enjoying. Oh, I guess I wanted to address this. If you want to find me, I'm not. If you want to find me, I'm not Mike Fallick. I'm Fallick Real Mike, which we talked about on episode one. But I guess in case people are like, what are they talking about? All right, let's get to the meat of the show. Here are the – I'm not going to say them. Deepu has a list of words. He was challenged to say every slur that he wanted to say on his show. He did a bad job. He clearly chickened out. and you're the producer, so shut up and let me do my segment.
All right.
You listed a derogatory word for Chinese people using that starts with a C.
Yeah.
You listed a derogatory word for homosexual people that starts with an F.
Yeah.
And you used a derogatory word for the mentally disabled using an R. You listed no reasons for why you wanted
pretty sure
to use them.
Pretty sure there was another one with the initials B S.
Yeah, B I for. For a woman that is somewhat promiscuous.
That's right.
The rest of them, I'm comfortable saying because they're nothing. 10% off, 51st Stater, and 7-Eleven.
Dude, you're so racist, bro.
That's not even that bad.
Oh, I'm taking you down with the audio clips.
7-Eleven's bad.
Yeah.
But then again, I think you'd have to say it. That's bad.
You gotta throw 7-Eleven.
I'm not going to say it.
You gotta be like 7-Eleven tits.
Yeah, I think that – no, that's not what I'm talking about being derogatory towards people. I'm not going to say those words on my show, but I think you failed as an experiment. I would, if I were you, just not – just either start saying slurs and have me bleep them out or, you know, like it's – I think you chickened out. I think when actually presented – and this is my point with political correctness is I am totally willing to be a reasonable person and I hate when anyone says, you know, like – it's always said as platitudes. Nobody really lists real reasons, and you failed in this, Deepu. If you're going to have a discussion, I'm willing to have a calm discussion about why I think you shouldn't say slurs, and I'm not going to get offended if you say any of them. I want you to say them because you believe there are words that I don't believe are wrong. All the 7 George Carlin's words. Piss, shit, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and I'm missing one.
Tits.
Tits. I'm fine with all of those, yeah. Pretty much.
Tits is so easy. Like, tits became okay in, like, 1982.
Well, but there you go. Okay, he was bold enough to say it. I think you chickened out. You were not as brave as Mr. Carlin.
No, I wasn't.
I think you chickened out. I think there are other words you'd put on that list, but instead of having the balls to say them, I think you chickened out.
There's actually – it's not about balls. It's about – I just don't want to say them.
But then no one should say them. Then why – let's address these other words.
Sure.
This one for homosexuals.
Which one's –
why does that make
it
with an F?
Oh, because there's a dual meaning to it. In modern vernacular, I know there's a textbook.
No, there isn't. No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't. No,
the
there
sound,
isn't. Someone
I think.
When it, hey, guess when it loses meaning? When you say it and then you throw someone out of a fucking window. That's when it becomes, oh, wait, what did you throw? Did you throw someone that doesn't like South Park as much as you out of a window? What did you throw out the window? Or was it, come on, if I say something violent and then I use that word with an F, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying something homophobic. You know what I'm saying. That's what – you're ignoring English. If you want to play this thing that, oh, it has two meanings. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, well, I'm not throwing someone out of a window, okay?
But that's what I'm saying.
When I see someone's shitty behavior and I think someone's being a cunt, I can call them that word and it's fine.
Fine. I'm fine with that. I made a movie about swear words, a big thing that men and women said to me in the movie. Is this evidence? This is not, you know, apocryphal. A lot of men and women said to me, I like how in England they say cunt more than us. That was a thing I interviewed people on the street about curse words. Frequently came up that they want to say that word.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know?
It has a nice kick to it.
Here's, yeah, it does. But here's the thing, too, is for me, Here's why I don't say that word. It doesn't flow naturally for me. I'm not as good at using it as other curse words.
Yeah, okay. And I kind of want to tie it back, and I'm playing along here. I'm not trying to usurp your position, sir. Mm-hmm. But I think this ties back into your appreciation for industrial design. I think there is a design to the sounding of the word that just it gave the
none of the words I say are hate words. I don't say hate words.
You can
I believe in cursing.
Avoid
I don't
say whatever you
that.
Want, but it's not
I don't
a crime
believe,
for me to
I'll
say.
I'll tell you something that I feel bolder about. Okay. If I had children, and again, this is talking out my ass because I don't have kids, but I'll say it here. I don't think it takes away my kids' innocence to give that. And again, there needs to be a separation here, Deepu, and why people having the conversation at home need to hear the caveat. I'm talking as an entertainer. As an entertainer, when I make children's content, I don't say, here's Tommy the fucking lizard. He's learning to make friends on the playground. I don't use those words because I know it's not commercially viable and that a lot of parents have a belief that that they'll shut off. And there's systems in place that can make people money. But at the same time, I don't believe that kids lose their innocence if they hear curse words. Let me propose this to you in terms of something bold I've ever said. Have you ever, when there's a kid in a class, and I was one of these people that knew about the curse words, and they say it, no other kid in the class is like, oh, are those Harry Potter magic spells? Why does he know those words? What are those words? They all know. Look at your 7-year-old child. They all know what the curse words
are.
They
know it all,
they
bro.
Know them.
I agree.
They know them all. They don't ruin their innocence. I think that this concept of innocence is so turned into the wrong thing. Here's what I think. There's so few things that I think losing innocence is. Having to turn to crime as a child, probably having to work excessively as a child, being a child soldier. These are probably the limits of it. You know, when someone is has a horrible thing happen to them, I don't know that their innocence goes away. Innocence is sort of a lack of responsibility in the world. I don't know that hearing the word fuck makes anyone's innocence go away. You can try it as an experiment. Say fuck to a kid and see if they're not still happy-go-lucky rolling around on the floor like an idiot. They'll probably look more innocent when you say fuck because it's a funny word and they're not allowed to say it.
But what about
and
when
they
roll
say around
fuck?
Laughing. Again, I'm not a parent, so it's talking out my ass to say I'm okay with it. But I am. But at the same time, I appreciate that there are some parental philosophies that say they don't want to say it.
Right,
I don't think there's
right,
any
so
harm
yeah.
on both sides of it.
So
I don't think there's any harm
there's
on
words,
both sides of the philosophy.
So there's these words that I've said, I've elected to say that I'm, I should
that I wouldn't say. Yeah, you've elected to say them. I'm against them. And I don't think you're bold enough. I think if you're going to include the C word about Chinese people, I think you should have said every single ethnicity. I think you should have tried to list as many as you could from every single ethnicity, from every country,
yeah.
from every part of the world. Because this is in bold.
I actually want to undo chink.
Okay, well, don't say it on my episode, but I will erase it. Fine, because you didn't do any of it. Okay, so you have this thing about sexuality here. You have something for homosexual people. You didn't list. There's a word that starts with B that describes heterosexual people. You didn't list that one.
I didn't list that one for removal, or I didn't list that
for
one?
For your own. You didn't go on both sides of the fence. I believe that saying that word is homophobic.
I don't know which way you're talking about.
Starts with an F. Oh, the other one? I'm not going to say it out loud. I'll type it to you. And don't you say it out loud. This
I
is
can't
like
believe you typed
kid.
It. You're so you're
like
offending
a kid
me.
In the back of the plague in the playground. I mean, it's not an incredibly offensive word, but it is one that is used, and I'm not going to use it. The fact is that you didn't, if only to prove a thought experiment here, which is that you didn't list any. You can't say anything bad about white people either because I said you didn't
Dude,
list any of
I
them.
I love the white people. Never had okay. a bad experience with a white person. Done and done.
I'm actually gonna side with you on bimbo if it's not used in the context. I actually think that's on the outside. I think the Three Stooges would say bimbo about each other.
Yeah.
And to that, I think you could – that word is reclaimable. I don't think a lot of people feel too much hate for it. I probably still wouldn't say it though. I probably still wouldn't say it. Again, because it bums people out. Because if you're not being – what I think your greatest failing here was is, hey, if someone says a word and it's funny and whatever and it makes you laugh, well, that's entertainment. What I think you missed out on in terms of fighting me, the social justice warrior, was you didn't list any reasons why. You weren't bold in these choices. You didn't say like, oh, that doesn't matter. You didn't do any of that.
And
you
know
you
what?
Just listed random words that you were bold enough to say.
I think as a social justice warrior, you won a considerably big war there. You know, you basically got me to back down out of potentially saying any slur to maybe three or four.
Right.
So I,
and not to say that the world will get better if you don't say those words. That's not what I think. I think that people think that too, that like, oh, if you don't say, I think it bums people out. And if you're going to choose a word, choose a word that means something. Otherwise, especially in podcasting, like it's going to bum some people out. If you know from response from people that you know, you have to read a room always. Again, and this is the difference between you listening at home and us having to create stuff. There's a perfectly respectable philosophy in saying curse words around kids. I don't, because I think there is also a perfectly respectable philosophy for not saying curse words around kids. But and so you have to respect both sides of it. I don't think there's any reason to say this homophobic slur. I don't think there's any reason to. I think there's even though there are people that believe the other side. No, the only people that you have on your side is that I know people in the drag and switch lifestyles. They're performers again, though, so they don't really count. But many of them say both those words as sort of a boot camp. They just don't care about it. It doesn't bother them.
Yeah, I'm not even using it like they use it. I'm using it as a.
But it's not that word anymore. Don't be so.
You know, know where I'm going with this.
Yes, but at some point.
So then why are we talking?
You cannot deny an emerging. Yeah, but you cannot deny an emerging. The use of the word gay is another one.
The emerging culture.
That's so gay. You cannot. These people have been fighting to be a culture for so long. At a certain point, it's like people would complain. Like there's a Lenny Clark bit about them taking the rainbow. It's like, okay, let them fucking have it. It's a new culture that we're finally recognizing. It's their slur. They don't want you to say it. You have to play ball a little bit. You listed none for your own race, which was the problem with the race one.
7-Eleven. I said 7-Eleven.
Yeah. But I don't think there's worse ones.
Well, yeah, but I didn't list one.
You listed one.
So there you go.
But
that's enough. One's
if you
enough.
Were to say
one slur is enough.
So then you're fine saying any Indian slurs or anyone saying any Indian slurs.
They're not that bad, honestly. The Indians don't have a great slur collection.
Oh, man. I mean, you did some Googling for yours. I'll find some British colonialism stuff that'll make your hair bleed.
No, it won't. It's going to be like, oh, turbaned man. Oh.
That's a good one.
Really.
That's a good one.
Ooh, school bird legs.
How would you feel? How do you feel if someone said that?
Turbaned man? I'd feel fine.
Yeah. Okay. To describe you?
Sure.
All right. I'm just saying the confidence
dropped
out
it's not
real
like
quick
it.
When I suggested that.
It's no N-word.
Yeah, that's true, and you did not include that on your list.
I didn't.
Why? Because I would suggest for this purpose removing the Indian slur to make your real point. I think that if you're going to make this point, that pretty much you are only really the R word and the homophobic slur are the only really two. That's the front you're going to have to fight in the next episodes. I think your argument. I'm just saying from one person to another, your argument looks better if you get rid of the Indian one here.
It's like we're signing the Paris Accords right now. It's like, all right, I have to have some.
That is what this show is. If you're going to be so bold as to say stuff, I'm going to call you out on it. Is that this show is turning the Facebook model and saying, no, people need, if you're actually going to think you're calling someone out on someone, you're like, oh, to all the haters out there, I'm not being anonymous. I'm saying, if you have a statement, I'm willing to listen and to recognize it and even help you make your argument, being in a real debate here and actually having a compromise. That's what this show is. All right, we're done with this. You'll have to reconsider. We're not done with this issue. It's going to come up next week a little bit, but not too much. We'll focus on other stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Because I'm sure we'll get in feuds. It's Thanksgiving. Let's spend the last 3 minutes here. Just
got,
talking, you and
do
I.
Do we have
together.
An ad or? Oh, okay. Let's.
Oh, no. Add at the end.
Okay. So let's talk about the holidays.
Well, that's no. Let's not do that's. Well, I guess we could talk. I wanted to have one on one. We're not. Welcome to the show, Deepu. You're not producer anymore. You are again a co-host.
Ah, thank God. These weights. It's so nice to have these weights come off my back.
I do make Deepu wear weighted chains whenever he is the producer. How do you feel about what's your opinion on people posting pictures of their families? That's a thing we're going to get to see next week or this week.
I think it really depends on the quality of the photo. If they're showing like
I don't.
If everyone's wearing the same clothes, if everyone's wearing the same clothes, like the same sweater, I'm not going to like that.
Oh no, opposite. I like that. What I'm saying you're saying like it's a good family photo. I don't give a shit about your family. I honestly don't. I honestly don't. Unless you have a really cute kid wearing something from a superhero, I don't care about your family. I don't care at all. I don't know why it's shared. It's so funny that you've been the negative one the whole time, and that we're ending with me being like, I don't care at all.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving side?
Michael is a big cranberry jelly guy.
Ooh, I can see that.
Big cranberry guy. Big into fruits.
I feel like you get the plate. You get your plate right, and you just go to cranberry sauce, and you just fill up cranberry sauce, and you avoid everything
else. I've said this before. I'm on record of this. All foods are better covered in a sugar or a jelly. There's no food that doesn't taste better. There's no food. And you say that, you want to laugh at me? Orange chicken. Yep. Fried food covered in sugar. Chicken and waffles. Steak, lamb chops and mint jelly. Honey glaze on chicken, on bread.
You're right.
On rice.
Dude, you got no argument for me.
Everything tastes better slathered in jelly. And on Thanksgiving, there's a formal jelly that we all talk about. And so I love it.
Out of the can, or you have like a homemade thing?
Who cares? who gives a shit? As much as I can slather on there, make sure there's enough.
Oh my god, I picture like your version of heaven is just a bathtub with cranberry sauce.
Well, then I don't get to use the bathtub. Just buckets. There's a lot of buckets in my version of heaven.
All right, fine. So I like, my favorite thing is a macaroni and cheese.
Is this Facebook related?
I thought we were going to talk about the holidays.
No, we're not just going to talk about the show is about the holidays. Ari, Facebook. I will let you talk about macaroni and cheese because macaroni and cheese is one of the worst internet opinions.
I just want to just say that I would love a macaroni and cheese made by not KFC or an Indian woman. That's all that matters.
Oh no!
That's all I care about.
Oh no! Is macaroni and cheese a little bit?
It baffles them.
Ethnically flavored.
They don't get it. Indian ladies don't get it.
They do too much. What do they do? What's the penalty?
I think the.
I imagine them overthinking it and actually making a real dish as opposed to an American dish, which is just like one thing plus one. The recipe's in the name.
I wish they overthought it. They put so little thought into it. Oh, dude, can I just tell you what I fucking saw once? It was like a fucking horror movie. It was so frightening.
Sure.
Okay, you know, some lovely aunts. You know, and like, first of all, my aunt, she's got, okay, so, you know, nice lady, 32C, I think is her boob size. Anyway, so she brings a tray of, you know, a side, right, and, you know, open it up. And it's
underneath her, okay, I want to imagine it. This Indian woman comes out of the kitchen. There's steam billowing off her ample breasts, and in her hands is she's wearing two oven mitts, and steaming in front of her bust line is a
tray with just boiled macaroni and just like slices of American cheese sparsely spread over the top. Sparsely.
What's sad, so here's my opinion on mac and cheese. If you ever pay for mac and cheese, you're out of your mind. Everybody make it at home. And I will say that is probably an instance of maybe go get it from KFC or Boston Market,
yep.
Which obviously all mac and cheese fans know that's the only time worth going out of the house because it's essentially this weird slime that doesn't exist anywhere else.
What, Boston Market mac and cheese?
I have eaten meals. Like, I'm not ashamed to say I eat meals like that, just like pasta covered with the all – quote, the recipe is whatever cheese is left in the fridge.
Oh, dude. Just American cheese? Just a
I'm
little?
Into it. I'm into it. I can't lie. Do you what about, I imagine, you know, again,
having a panic
this is my
attack
first
right
holiday
now.
This is my first holiday season going through Facebook being a part of it. What I imagine is going to happen, because I've seen this string of over sentiments, is a lot of sentiments about their families or a rough year or whatever, or proud or things like that. A lot of over sentimental stuff. Is that what you think I'm in for?
So and so got sick. We overcame that. You know, there's going to be a lot of parties.
I just want to say.
Yeah.
Quote, I just want to say, ...
Yeah, that's going to be big.
Yeah,
happy holidays, just to justify it, to like justify wasting our time with a huge paragraph. They'll say happy holidays. Huge paragraphs.
Guys, make sure to put on your Facebook this week that like a weightlifting band, a sort of back brace. That way your Facebook can hold huge paragraphs like that all at once.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
A lot of wrists go down in the holidays. It's very
Wait,
sad.
What does that mean? Oh, from it's a lifting joke again. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
Took me a little there. Your family lives in the city, so you're gonna have to suffer reunions or reading about reunions of friends that you don't want to talk about? That's the thing is that, like, I think my Facebook accomplishment is even more so because I don't talk to any high school friends. So any likes I'm getting here are all from just being a person on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to a family thing. I always don't like going to family things, but I'm looking forward to the food. And
it's amazing that you just ignored my question entirely.
Well, you asked me a question first, and then you, I was
no.
Focused
my
on
question
that.
Was if the other Facebook, the friends reunions of people coming back into town.
Will I join them? Is your question?
Will you join them? Do you read about them posting like, oh my god, Susan's feet got so small, I'm so glad the swelling went down, or whatever the fuck people write
what,
about.
You
I don't
get,
know.
What, did she go to China and have her feet
down? I don't know what happened. I only know half of it.
Okay,
it's so isolating when I repost like that.
I don't take part in reunions. I mean, I grew up around here, so everyone. I mean, everyone.
But what's the opinion? The show is about Facebook, for fuck's sake. What's your opinion on seeing these posts? Like, do you think I'm going to see posts of people reuniting that I don't understand why they're showing this picture of? Do you experience that? Is that something I've made up? I'm trying to predict what's going to happen with people coming home for the holidays on Facebook.
Well, because you're not friends with anyone besides people you met after comedy or after.
So I'm asking you with your opinions. What's going to happen to your feed?
I can tell you exactly, but it's too inside baseball. It's too inside comedy.
So that's the thing, is like, is it all going to be about, you know, people coming home and talking to each other? Are you seeing that? What's it going to be?
It's going to be.
Just give us a general. I think that inside baseball stuff is so isolating. It's like only those three people get to know about it. Why isn't that a private thought?
Because you asked me to tell you what I fucking see on Thanksgiving on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you. It's just pictures of, right. You know, one or two parties that take place and, you know, all the comedians are there because they're away from their families. And
so you're talking about your isolated people.
Yeah. Facebook.
People away from home.
Facebook. Yeah. Everyone's isolated thing.
No, but I mean people away from home. I was trying to tap into something more because I figured you would see people from – because you didn't move incredibly far from your hometown.
Right.
Okay, doesn't matter. I thought you would hear about hometown travels and things like that.
Jesus, Mike.
Doesn't matter.
I got nothing.
We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, maybe we can actually experience Thanksgiving before we fucking dissect Thanksgiving.
Well, I was trying to have a conversation with you. Obviously, you're a huge homophobe. Can't wait to rip you a new one about that next week again. But at least we've settled what you're racist and bigoted about. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.
There has never been a game like Fire Fan. With Fire Fan, you can play along live while competing against sports heroes, celebrities, and friends. You make the calls, you predict the plays, scores, penalties, and more. Firefan.com. Use promo code Haley, HALEY, at HaleyIsADog.com.